Welcome to the Business Coach Podcast, an advice-oriented series that tackles the top issues and opportunities facing Canada's small businesses. I'm your host, Ian Portsmouth, the editor of Profit Magazine, and we've developed this podcast in cooperation with BMO, Bank of Montreal. Happy New Year! I say that in September because now that Labor Day has come and gone, we're now at the beginning of what many people call the start of the real business year. And that's why I'm joined now by Doug Porter, the Deputy Chief Economist at BMO Capital Markets in Toronto. He's on the line to provide his fall economic outlook. Doug, welcome to the Business Coach Podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So, Doug, we've recently had some news out that U.S. housing sales are slumping and there are new fears of a double-dip recession. What, if any, clarity can you provide on the whole double-dip recession phenomenon?
Well, I think when you look at the housing sector alone in the U.S., it's actually fairly clear that that sector indeed is in a renewed downturn. It had been artificially lifted earlier this year by a fairly generous tax credit. And as soon as that tax credit ended at the end of April, we saw the housing sector almost right across the board weaken quite markedly. Now, I still don't think that that is enough to pull the broader U.S. economy into an outright downturn. But, you know, it's fairly clear that the U.S. economy is in a lull, a pause, a soft patch, whatever you want to call it. You know, after a surprisingly strong start to the recovery late last year and early this year, the U.S. Economy has slowed back to, you know, a somewhat of a disappointing pace. And I think it's going to struggle over the next few quarters to really post, you know, even moderate growth for the next little while.
Now, do you think that we're in the beginning of a long phase of very slow growth, that we can't count on 4% and 5% gains ever again?
Well, I wouldn't say ever. You know, in fact, we did actually see one quarter in this cycle where the U.S. economy did get up to that kind of pace. But I think, you know, when you look at what we're going to average over the next 5 to 10 years, it is likely to be more subdued than what we've become used to over the last 20 years or so. And I think, you know, there are two major reasons to believe that we are looking at a modest expansion, especially in the U.S. and to a lesser extent in Canada. The first reason is that, you know, despite the efforts of U.S. households over the past year to try to repair their balance sheets, in other words, rebuild their savings, they've still got a towering debt load that has to be addressed. And, you know, at best, we're going to see modest consumer spending growth out of the U.S. over the next few years. And I think really that's the message that the global economy is going to have to live with, is that the U.S. consumer is just not going to come riding to a rescue anytime soon. Quite the opposite. The other major factor and reason to believe that the recovery will remain modest at best is, you know, of course, governments around the world, and especially in the U.S., spent a lot of money and, you know, employed a lot of resources to support the economy. And now they're left with this huge budget deficit, which in the U.S. is almost 10% of their economy. That's the largest budget deficit we've seen in the U.S. since the World Wars. And one way or another, eventually they've got to get that budget deficit under control. And, you know, whether that means higher taxes or spending cuts, that kind of fiscal restraint or government restraint in the years ahead also will act as a brake on the expansion. So I think, you know, loaded on top of the demographic story, which I didn't get into, you know, I think we are looking at quite a modest recovery on balance in the U.S. in the years to come.
Now, one of the things that will impact that recovery could be energy prices. The inflation rate has been pretty tame over the last few years, but now we see, again, a resurge in energy prices. Do you see them continuing to rise in a significant fashion, sort of out of line with other products and services? And do you think that is a threat?
I don't actually see it as a big threat over the next couple of years until the global economy gets on a much firmer footing. In recent weeks, we've actually seen oil prices retreat. Natural gas prices, by most standards, actually remain quite low. And one of the reasons why energy prices are fairly well under control is simply because the U.S. economy and the European economy are struggling to post even moderate growth. Inventories are relatively high at this point. And so we actually don't see energy prices rising much over the next year and a half. In fact, our call for average energy prices this year is $78 a barrel and $85 U.S. In 2011. Now, looking further out into the medium term, say 2012 to 2015, I am a little bit of an energy bull. I think that a lot of the factors that drove energy prices sky high in 2007, 2000, early 2008 are still there, namely the very robust demand out of India and China. But I think that will take some time before it really begins to make its mark on energy prices. So I think at least for the next couple of years, energy prices are unlikely to be a major restraint on the global economy.
This spring, we saw a real surge in house prices, and that was
driven in large part by people's fear that interest rate hikes were coming. That hasn't really happened. Do you think that we're going to have cheap money around for the short to midterm at least?
Overall, I do think so. I mean, we have seen the Bank of Canada boost their overnight rate a couple times so far over the summer. They're likely to slowly but surely bump up their so-called overnight interest rate over the next year. But, you know, we started at almost zero when the bank began raising interest rates. We think rates will be about 1.5% for the overnight rate by the middle part of 2011, still very modest by past standards. And the fact of the matter is that even as the Bank of Canada has been raising its overnight interest rate, the one interest rate that it can control directly, longer-term interest rates have actually been coming down since the spring, largely because of concerns over the U.S. and European economy. We've seen long-term interest rates around the world drop and drop quite sharply, and that's really what tends to determine some of the longer-term borrowing costs, like five-year mortgage rates. So, in fact, even as the Bank of Canada has been raising the interest rates it can control, we've actually seen five-year mortgage rates come full circle and drop back to where they were at the start of the year. And frankly, it doesn't look like that situation is going to change anytime soon. It looks like long-term interest rates are going to remain at a relatively low ebb because there are these concerns about the U.S. economy and the European economy. So, you know, even as the Bank of Canada is likely to continue slowly but surely grinding short-term interest rates higher, I think overall borrowing costs will remain well under control in the next year and a half.
A big concern of exporters is the value of the loonie, and we've seen it stay steadily above 90 cents for quite a while now, although it hasn't been pushing through the dollar barrier or approaching the dollar barrier much lately. The problem still remains of volatility, and so many exporters and other companies that just have to do any sort of foreign transaction have to worry about dollar volatility. Do you see that volatility lessening over the next few months to a couple of years, or do you think that we're in a cycle where we're just going to see volatility? Volatility, and that's going to be part of life.
Well, if anything, the exchange market volatility in recent years has actually picked up. Now, I don't suspect that things are going to be nearly as volatile as what we saw in late 2008, when, you know, at one point the Canadian dollar dropped by 20 cents in the space of a single month there, from late September to late October. I sincerely doubt we're going to see anything like that again anytime soon. But you know, even though the currency has been somewhat volatile in 2010, its range actually hasn't been that extraordinary by any means. We've seen a low of about 93 cents and a high of about parity so far in 2010. That's about the kind of range we would expect through the remainder of this year. Now, looking in 2011, we do think on balance the currency is more likely to strengthen than weaken, especially if the global recovery does take a bit firmer hold. That really is the major driver for the Canadian dollar, is, you know, the health of the global economy and the strength of commodity prices. And if the global recovery takes a little bit firmer hold, we think that would be positive for the currency. Our view at this point is that the currency is likely to grind back towards parity in the second half of 2011, but stay in a relatively narrow range compared to what we saw from 2007 to 2009.
Finally, looking forward, can you tell us your GDP estimate for 2011 for the country as a whole, and whether there are any provinces that are going to be either substantial leaders or substantial laggards?
Yeah, for all of 2011, we're looking for a little bit of a cool down from this year. We're calling for a growth of about 2.75%. That's a bit below the Bank of Canada's latest forecast, where they were calling for a growth of 2.9%. You know, it doesn't sound like much, but I think if we're going to end up having to revise that forecast, it would more likely be to the low side of our call rather than up towards the Bank of Canada's expectation. And that, again, that's largely because of the strains that we continue to see in the U.S. economy. In terms of who's likely to lead that growth, we continue to favor the Western provinces, especially the three westernmost provinces. We think in order, Saskatchewan, Alberta, and BC are likely to be the provinces that will see the strongest growth in 2011. You know, simply put, it's that the provinces that are commodity rich are tending to see you know, the biggest improvement because of the very strong growth we're seeing in Asia. Whereas the provinces that are most closely tied to the U.S. economy and depend, you know, on manufacturing and are affected by the strong Canadian dollar, specifically Ontario and Quebec, likely face some of the biggest medium-term challenges in the years ahead. The one thing I would add, though, is Ontario has actually seen a very good rebound in 2010 because of the recovery that we've seen in the auto sector. But a lot of that does reflect a bounce from the extreme lows we saw in auto production, you know, when GM went bankrupt and Chrysler declared bankruptcy in the spring of 2009. We have seen a very big bounce off of those extremely weak conditions last year. But I don't think that robust growth we saw in Ontario this year is sustainable.
Doug, thanks for letting us into your crystal ball.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Doug Porter is Deputy Chief Economist at BMO Capital Markets. Well, that's it for another episode of the Business Coach Podcast. Be sure to check out other episodes, which you can download from BMO.com/coach, ProfitGuide.com, and iTunes. For other tools to help you build your business, visit the Small Business Resources section on BMO.com. And until next time, I'm Ian Portsmouth, the editor of Profit Magazine, wishing you continued success.